Blog Talk Radio.
A blossom fell from off a tree. It settled softly on the lips you turned to me. The gypsies say, and I know why. A falling blossom only touches lips that lie. A blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died the night the blossom fell and touched two lips that lie. Blossom fell, and very soon I saw you kissing someone new beneath the moon. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. We planned together to dream forever. The dream has ended, for true love died the night a blossom fell and touched two lips that lied.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America party. It's Friday night. It's after 8 o'clock because Mike Savage is finished and Michael Schmierkanisch is taking over, and I can't stand it. If I had that name, I definitely would change it. The Michael Schmierkanisch Show. Come on, man. Even John DeMonkey changed his name. He named himself after a root beer in an outhouse. What's that guy's name that the Mark Levin hates? John Leibowitz, who said that when Gore was running for president, or as I call him, the pretender to the throne, and he was VP'd by Joe Leibowitz, the Orthodox Jew. If he's an Orthodox Jew, let me tell you something. Moses was an Apache. Give me a break. The guy votes to burn the flag. The guy votes to kill kids. How Orthodox is that? What? Didn't he ever hear the story of Solomon? Do you know what? Joe Leibowitz is the Connecticut version of Chuck Schumer. If Chuck Schumer was playing Solomon, and two women came before him and said, each woman claimed the baby was theirs, Schumer's version of a Solomon-like decision would be to ask this question: how many pieces each? Not cut the baby in half, and one woman would say, no, let her have the baby. And then Solomon knew that the one who loved the child the most was the mother. Not Schumer. Not Schumer, who votes to burn the flag and kill kids. His Solomon-like order would be, how many pieces each? Yeah, and that's what's running your government. And you saw, I had a guy in my store today. He's a butcher, and he works downtown Manhattan, and he tells me that downtown, around 23rd Street, somebody just bought a piece of property, and they're putting up a 40,000 square foot supermarket, and we were talking about all the little guys that got forced out of business by the big people who buy from the Chinese. And he was saying it's going to have 5 restaurants, a 40,000 square foot supermarket, and a beer garden on the roof. And then we were talking about the cost of real estate in Manhattan, and he tells me he knows a guy who's in Wall Street who bought a one-bedroom condo downtown, and he paid $1,400,000. And now he's not doing too good on Wall Street, and the value of his condo is around $1 million. So he took a $400,000 hit. And I said to myself, you know, I'm watching the news. I'm watching the Fox Business Channel. And while we're talking about the Fox Business Channel, to get Cody, who looks like a Buffalo Bill Cody, was attacking the legalization of marijuana. And Pretty Boy Floyd from Long Island was defending it. Now, I don't like Pretty Boy Floyd anymore for 2 reasons. One, he's making money on the price of oil. He's banking on high oil prices. And when you bank on high oil prices, you're voting against the American people. And now he sees a good chance to make money. Of course, if they ever raided the Hamptons, everybody would be doing time for drugs. All the celebrities would either be with the Bloods or the Crips. Yeah, so that's why he wants to legalize it, because it's a social pastime in the Hamptons. Yeah, they get Billy Joe to play Captain Jack for you. You'll get the whole drift. Poor Billy Joe. Poor Billy Joe. The guy was inspirational. He wrote fantastic songs. Fantastic, creative. And what happened? What happened to Mel Gibson? Not that Mel Gibson does drugs, but he does a lot of Jello shots. And then he turns Teutonic when he does Jello shots. But Mel broke his shovel with me. I loved Mel. He's my Fredo now. He's got to go fishing and say a prayer. Oh God, you never can put your faith in a governor of Carolina, or a senator, or a congressman, or a movie actor. Don't ever put your faith in any of those, unless it's the great Charles Heston. How they hated Charles Heston, didn't they? Yet he was a great actor. He gave you box office. He gave you box office. When you went to see Charlton Heston, you were getting your money's worth. Gibson gave you box office, too. But, the character is flawed. Heston was the real McCoy. You know the story of the real McCoy? A black guy invented it. His name was McCoy. You know what he invented? He invented a pressure relief valve for steam engines, the boilers. Up until that time, the boilers used to blow up. And so when guys were doing repairs on boilers, they used to come into the plumbing store and say, or the supply store and say, "Give me the real McCoy." And that's the origin of the real McCoy. You know what 3 squares a day is? 3 squares a day is the British Navy. They served you food on square trays. And if you joined the British Navy, you wouldn't starve. You would get 3 squares a day. But anyway, that's a little... I love those tidbits. I love those tidbits. Mind your P's and Q's. That's pints and quarts. That's barmaid talk. From when George Washington used to hoist a few. That's how you kept track. He had a pint, he had a quart, you had to mind your P's and Q's when you were making up the tab. Now the government is going to tax all the tip money that waitresses make. They're thinking of installing cameras on aprons. When this government gets finished with you, you'll be lucky if you're bringing home 20% of your paycheck. You'll be dealing in the black market. There'll be a new black market in this country. You'll be buying everything on the black market. Because the sales tax in New York is up to 9%. That's that. You know, the Prince John couldn't get that much out of Loxley in England, the home of Sherwood Forest and Robin Hood. Prince John never took 9%. But Mayor Bloomingdale, who's going to give us a third term in office that he bought and paid for, yeah, is going to sing arias on Fridays on the John Gambling Show. Oh, come on the show, Mayor, and we'll have a heart-to-heart. Yeah, God help us. 18% down is the revenue in the United States government, and they're going to make it up on you. So if you were paying 50% before, you're going to get a bump. You're going to get a financial bump, 70%. I'm looking at the top 25 colleges, $40,000 a year. I think that's the number I saw, $40,000 a year. Imagine scrimping and saving and working day and night to send one of your siblings to a college like Notre Dame, and when you get there, you find out that they got an abortion clinic. Yeah, around the corner. Yeah, under the rule of separation of church and state. It's off campus. Ain't that great? Ain't that great? And they invite Obama, the head kid killer of the United States. Come! We'll turn the other cheek. We'll be Christian. How Christian can you be when you murder 1,400,000 American votes? How Christian can you be? How are you going to explain that to God when he's trying to decide what kind of a penalty should he give you when he's looking at Adolf Hitler and Adolf Hitler says, I only killed 30 million. I only killed 30 million. These guys did that in 10 years. And they're still doing it. Yeah, it's going to be kind of hard. You know, you're going to tell them you didn't want to get involved? You're going to ask to see your lawyer? There's no lawyers in heaven. There's two things that are not in heaven. Lawyers and atheists. The atheists go to a different place where there's nothing. You know that black hole that's out there in space? That's where the atheists go. If you focus the, what's that giant magnifying glass we have out there in space? The Hubble telescope. If you focus it on the black hole, if you look real close, you can see a lot of Democrats flying through. Nancy Pelosi, the Catholic grandma. Yeah, she's the Catholic grandma. And Ilse Koch was the Bavarian beauty. Yeah. What's the other one? Geraldine Ferraro. She took God's money. She took God's graces. She took the blessings of the Catholic Church. And as soon as she graduated, she spit on the cathedral and said, I'm pro-choice. What's pro-choice mean? You let somebody live, you let somebody die? Is that pro-choice? Didn't they do that in the Roman Colosseum? What was it, thumbs up and thumbs down? Is that how that's done? Yeah, too bad kids couldn't train as gladiators before they exited into the arena, huh? I just sent a Mike Savage an email. He just came out on Twitter. So I tweeted him. And I'm changing his name to Conway Twitter. And I encouraged him. I told him he's doing it all wrong. He's waiting for the Secretary of State to get him off the English hook. And you can't do that. You can't count on conservatives. You can't count on politicians. You can't count on anybody to get you off the hook with the communists that are running the BBC. You can't count on anybody to get you off the hook with the crown. You have to change your war song to The Farmer in the Dell. And when you get to the part where the cheese stands alone, that's you, Mike. You got to stand up. And here's what you do. I sent a suggestion to your website on Twitter. You fly to Ireland. You slip into Bantry Bay. From Bantry Bay, you pirate a sloop. You load the cannons with oatmeal. And you sail the channel, the Irish Sea, until you are right outside of British waters. I will fly into London. I will demand to see the Queen at Buckingham Palace. I will slap her with the gauntlet glove. And I will challenge her to a trial by mortal combat, her against you, at sea. And then we'll see. And we'll all sing that song, Savage Rules Britannia. And not only that, but you'll be knighted with the Order of the Garter and the Pantyhose. And as in a sidebar, I must tell you that the communist Scotchman, and there's a lot of communists in Scotland. There's two that we know of already. That one that came to a hearing at Congress. Remember that guy? And he sat before the High Court of the senator from Minnesota who has been replaced by Al Franken. And speaking of Al Franken, never trust a guy who shortens his name because he's ashamed of his heritage. I don't care if what the village people say. I don't care about those neck buttons. But anyway, back to Norm Coleman was the senator, and this Scotchman took him to task in his own house. He mopped the floor with him, and then he left, and he pocketed about $5 million in Saddam's money. Yeah, he was looking out for his country, just like the politicians here look out for us. And now, this other Scotchman who healed the Algerian plane bomber, this other Scotchman, he just converted to Islam. Well, he really didn't convert to Islam. He's converting Libyan pounds to euros. And surely he got paid off. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm alleging he took bribe money. How do you like that? Yeah, as sure as Jimmy Carter's brother got a loan from Muammar Gaddafi. Yeah, they know how to take care of politicians. I went to Washington, D.C. To meet with a local official of the Chamber of Commerce. No, the Commerce Department. And he introduced me to the guy that was the head of the Commerce Department at the time. And he gave me the quick 3-second handshake. But then he introduced me to another guy who heard... my wife was with me. The two of us were there. And he introduced me to another bigwig. I think he was a big politician. And when he heard my last name, he got real chummy. And he was almost giving me hickeys. And then he goes, you're O'Donnell from Oklahoma, aren't you? I said, no, I'm from New York. He goes, oh, this meeting is ended. Yeah. How's that grab you? I wasn't on the payroll. His payroll. He wasn't on my payroll. And that's what your politicians are doing. They're selling you out. You don't count. You only count at town hall meetings, and you have to pay $10 to get in. No drinks. But there is a minimum. Yeah. And they don't have to listen to you because you're only an urchin. You're a political urchin. They listen to guys like Jeffrey Immelt. They listen to guys like Mr. Mortgage, Mr. Credit Card, 29% interest man. Yeah, well, we had to raise the interest rates on the poor people because 29% is good for them. It keeps them from borrowing. It keeps them from buying food. And not only that, but we don't get that whole 29%. 15% has to go to the senators and the congressmouse. Yeah. We share. You want to be disgusted, you go to Washington on a business day and see who's walking up and down the stairs in $600 suits with Rolex watches and Gucci shoes, and they're going to visit the guy that tells you he's representing you. You'd be so sick. And you want to know something? Some of those guys that are dressed that way are union officials. We were down in Hilton Head, and one of the big unions was having a meeting, and all I could think of was their poor dues-paying constituents. And these guys, they look like management. They look like they look like Bernie Madoff's, who, by the way, has a girlfriend. Isn't that something? Not only did he cheat on his financial backers, his investors, but he cheated on the girl he grew up with. Isn't that wonderful? And of course, the girl that he cheated with, she's got to earn a living. Bernie's in jail. There's no guilt coming in. And she's got to do a book. And who's going to buy her book if it's not juicy? Yeah. God help us, man. Wait till they tell us 9-1-1 never happened. They can tell you there was no Holocaust. They can tell you 9-1-1 never happened. They'll just have to wait for you to die before they can spin that lie. Like they have to wait for the last World War II veteran to be gone so they can rewrite history. Yep. And take those crosses down and that flag. And you don't think it can't happen, huh? Never can happen. Happens all the time. You should go to the Supreme Court and see who's up there hurting you tomorrow. You'd be sick. You would be throwing up all over the bench. And these people have nothing better to do. They're being paid to put you out of your country. So this guy comes in and he's a butcher, and we're talking about how the unions have ruined this country. When once they were great, now they want to have you vote on a piece of paper, and they want to see the piece of paper. How's that? Yeah, you'd be better off drawing straws. At least you could say yours wasn't the shortest one. It is really sad, really sad. And we were talking about all the lumber yards that have been put out of business. We're talking about all the hardware stores that were put out of business. And the guy was talking about this town that we're in. He remembers when it was all small business. All those mom and pops. And let me tell you something. There's two things, two goddamn lies you should never believe. When any politician tells you that small business is the backbone of America, he's not finishing the sentence. And that sentence is, and he intends to break that back. Never trust a politician who says small business is the backbone of America. And here's another one not to trust. When somebody says to you, you and I are the same, we have to stick together, he's going to stick it to you before somebody that's different. Never forget that. And never trust a Democrat who says, some of my best friends are children. Or a woman with two last names. Or a guy who wears brown shoes with a blue suit. Or a guy who wears an overcoat in the summer. These politicians have turned the House and the Senate into a social club. All they do is chase hookers, strippers, and hit on interns. They live second lives away from their wives. If I was a wife of a senator or a congressman, I wouldn't let him out of my sight. And now you see Ted Kennedy is on his deathbed, and they're getting ready to pass a law that he can be immediately replaced. Those are his dying wishes. What his dying wishes would be is, don't hold the trial when I get there, and please don't call Mary Jo Kopechne as a witness. Yep. And they're going to give him a state funeral. You know what kind of state funeral he deserves, as does many Massachusetts politicians? A nice big green garbage truck, riderless garbage truck, with the galoshes on the running board turned inside out. And the caisson should be a dumpster. And you know what? Al Sharpton can read the eulogy by the dumpster while he writes the N-word upside down on his breasts. Did you know that Hillary Clinton wanted to build a monument to Woodstock? 6 months ago, she asked Congress for money to build a monument to Woodstock. How's that? And I see one brave lady in my local communist rag, which I would cancel tomorrow if my wife didn't need the coupons. Woodstock is the shame of boomer generation. This past week, you could not turn on the TV or read a newspaper without encountering a story about Woodstock. After reading from John Foxwell's and Luke Walter's experiences from the local paper on the 16th of August, I called a friend and exchanged our memories about this event. I call it woodcrap. It was the introduction of full-blown drugs, which are now trying to get legalized on Fox Business. In 1969, you know how many rehab clinics we're going to need when they legalize this crap? I'd close the borders tomorrow. You know what I would do? I'll tell you what I would do. I would order the entire units at Fort Hood, Texas, to mount up, gas up, and head for the border, and start border patrols. I would immediately fly to Mexico City. I would knock on the door of the president of Mexico, and I would say, "My friend, I am here to help you. I am closing the border to drugs. I am closing the border to drugs, and we're opening the border to immigration. But they have to come through and be registered. But I'm closing the border to drugs. And I wish you well in your fight down here against drugs. But I'm telling you right now, no more drugs will come through Mexico. No more drugs will come across the border. That would be done tomorrow." And that's how I would solve that problem. I'd kill two birds with one stone. And if some panty-waist general told me we didn't have enough manpower to do it, I would say, well, put more men on the job. And raise the pay. And where are we going to get it from? We're going to get it from farts for the arts. And then I'd give every government employee the 30-second notice. If you're holding a job that is inconsequential and of no value to the people of the United States, you better start looking right now, because as soon as I find out where you're hiding, you're going to be terminated. And you know that guy I told you about that was a big shot in the Department of Commerce? Do you know, when we went into his office, nobody knew where his office was. He was hiding away. He was hiding away waiting for his pension. And my wife looked on his desk. His desk was empty. There wasn't a piece of paper on his desk. And we just came from an office where the paperwork was stacked at least a foot high. Small business, mom and pop. You don't know the meaning of small business. You want to know how small my business was? We had to let mom go. And thank God she did, because now today I live off of her. And don't tell me about the Small Business Administration. I'd close that first. I would close that first. I would go in. I'd empty out the petty cash drawer. I'd give it to the Franciscans, and this agency is now closed. And whatever it costs to run, we would save that money too. And I told you what I do about ambassadorships. You couldn't buy an ambassadorship on my watch. All the ambassadors would be veterans in wheelchairs. And I hear a Savage talking tonight, and he's talking about veterans are waiting to get paychecks and disability money. And the guys that are running the show just paid themselves $24 million in extra cash. Yeah, I'd put an end to that, you know what. I'd put an end to it so quick you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. They would look like John Corzine on the platform, the re-election platform with all those black ministers. And somebody said, how much did you pay these guys? And he was at a loss for words. And the black minister turned to the other one and said, what did we say we were going to say last night? And Corzine, man, he froze. He was like, you could eat custard off of his look. And one of the most dangerous men in New Jersey right now is Frank Loudmouthburg. Now, this slime votes to kill kids, votes to burn the flag. Now, so here's what happened. There was a crook who was elected by the crooks in New Jersey to represent them. His name was Torricelli. They called him the Torch. You know why they called him the Torch? They'll tell you this story, but I'll tell you the real story. They called him the Torch because he's one of the first ones to vote to burn the flag. And he also burns evidence. And he also burned the CIA. And he passed legislation with his name on it that kept the CIA from conversing with the FBI. And God knows the both of them need to converse. And they're not ready for the next hit. They already got their excuses. They got a pad full of excuses. But they don't have any deterrence. You think that they're going to have a deterrent when they're promoting death to America in mosques in the United States, where there are training camps in Oregon for jihadis, training camps in Washington State, training camps in Canada, training camps in North Carolina? What do? They go parallel to Fort Bragg? Unbelievable. They're writing training manuals for jihadists in the United States. You think the FBI is going to protect you? They're just going to identify your body. They're going to confirm the hit. They're going to fill out the paperwork. And one day, just like that sunny day in September 8 years ago, you're going to be whistling on your way to work, and you're not going to have a job, and you're not going to have a building to go into, and you're going to be on the run like those New Yorkers were on the run. You're going to be in a paper parade, which was the only thing that could safely land on the ground. You're going to be able to look up and see people begging to be saved. You're going to hear people getting busy signals as they call to say goodbye to their families. You forgot 911. You forgot that that bastard Bin Laden is sitting in Pakistan, being protected by the Pakistani government and the Saudi government. You forgot that. And because you forgot it, you're going to pay the tune again. You're going to pay the piper one more time. You think about that. So anyway, going back to Woodcrap, this woman says, in 1969, I was talking about Loudmouthburg. Loudmouthburg, they caught Torricelli stealing. So because he's a Democrat, if you get caught stealing, you get to walk. You don't have to do no jail time. If you're a Korean Air race and you fell for the first time, you get 8 years in jail if you're a Republican. But if you're a Democrat, you can take $450,000 from a drug family, and once it becomes a common knowledge, you can send it back 50 grand short, and you can run for President of the United States. How's that, Hillary? Billy, Brother Billy, brought the money home. He brought home the bacon. And all you could get was a little slice. Yeah. He had two satchels that night. One had Girl Scout cookies, and one had $450,000 from the Vignali crime family. Okay? Who I'm sure voted for Obama. All right? And, I'm surprised that, what's his name, the Attorney General wasn't in on it and giving advice. Yep, here. And so, Billy, how did you do today? Well, I played golf with President Clinton, and I bought these Girl Scout cookies, and I got 450,000 large from the Vignali drug family. Oh, Billy, you're such a philanthropist. We're so proud of you. You keep those Girl Scout cookies. We have plenty. We get them free. Yeah. And he had to send back the 450 grand, and he was short 50 grand. And Vignali said, no problem. Yeah, you try that. You try that and see what happens to you. You go home and tell your wife you lost your paycheck. You see what happens to you. Huh? It'll be Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 7500. So, Torselli got caught. And you know how he got caught? There was a Chinese guy that was paying him off. And he used to take the Chinese guy shopping. Like he was a woman. And he made him buy, he made the Chinese guy buy him beautiful things. And the Chinese guy would pay for them. And Torricelli took him home and put him on his mantelpiece. So, one day they caught the government, somebody was doing their due diligence, and they caught the Chinese guy making payoffs to a few other politicians, and he says, I tell you what, don't put me in jail, I'll give you Torricelli. And they said, you give us Torricelli? He said, yeah, I can tell you what everything we did. And so the Chinese guy told the investigating team everything that him and Torricelli did, and how he bribed Torricelli, and Torricelli took the payoffs. And you know what they did? They found the Chinese guy guilty, and they put him in jail. They wouldn't even give him a timeshare with Torricelli. And Torricelli got to do no time. But even better than that, Torricelli, see, one of the rules that the congressmen don't talk about too much is when they raise campaign funds, or as I call it, champagne contributions, when they raise those funds, when they retire, whatever they got left in the kitty, they take with them. And Torricelli walked off the party platform with $5 million in champagne contributions. And you know what? They were so afraid that they might call for an election of a decent senator that what they did is they did a quick overnight shuffle and they said, we got to replace Torricelli right away. We'll get the governor to appoint who we have on ice. And they said, well, we have somebody on ice. It's the Count Dracula of New Jersey. We don't know if he's alive or dead, but we do have him on ice. We'll keep him on ice until we make the decision. So they put Frank Loudmouthburg on ice, and they kept him in a cold container, and then all of a sudden they said, we're going to do Lautenberg. And out comes Frank Lautenberg, and Frank Lautenberg took the Democratic oath to do lots of harm, and they burn a dimple chad in his hand. He holds it. And he became Torricelli's replacement. Torricelli went off without being charged for anything. He lives happily. And they said, okay, if that's the way you feel about it, $5 million from the suckers, and we'll give that to Lautenberg. Hello, suckers, send in another $5 million. Yes, we're supporting the party. Yep, and Lautenberg now is trying to pass gun legislation that will cripple not only the First Amendment, but the Second Amendment. Because without the Second Amendment, there is no First Amendment. And so the only way you can counteract that is go out and buy more guns. And ladies, you should all join the NRA. I don't know why the NRA isn't pitching you. You need guns more than anybody in this country today. You need protection. You need hardware. You don't need a big gun. You just need a little persuader. Something that shoots little bullets. Cute little bullets. Little 22s. And let me tell you something. Instead of dialing 911 or running up the stairs and the phone rings and it's the Brinks guy and he wants to know if you're all right, you can say, case closed. The trial is over. And the defendant is dead. Or he's retching on the floor. And girls, join the NRA. Don't be afraid of weapons. The liberals make you afraid of weapons. A good weapon in the right hands is your best friend. And there's no more safe feeling than to know that you have an equalizer that can bring down a moose. And you don't need a big gun. All you got to do is make the guy think about what he's doing. And a few rounds in a few places can do that very nice. And it'll buy you time to get away. And then you can fill out the report alive. Not be a chalk mark on the sidewalk. You can tell firsthand the investigating officer how you defended yourself from a beast. Of course, you're not supposed to use it on your boyfriend, unless he only became your boyfriend to kill you. That's a matter for the love court. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune. Oh, so I told you about Lautenberg. Let me finish this lady's thing about the Woodcraft generation. In 1969, our job took us into Kingston, New York. While there, Woodstock happened. Unlike Mr. Foxwell and Mr. Walter, we recalled the filthy, full of mud, disoriented young people we witnessed wandering through the town of Kingston and sleeping by the roadside. We could not help but wonder if they arrived and found their way home, if they survived and found their way home. While these gentlemen and the rest of the world see Woodstock as hallowed ground, and I told you Hillary wanted a monument for it. Yeah, but you know what she does? Late at night she goes to the memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, and she gives a Jane Fonda hug to me. Yeah. That's an alleged. Yeah. Her husband was in London smoking weed, looking like a ragamuffin with a beard and looking like Woolly Bully. And he was holding up a sign, "This war is unjust." And then he became the President of the United States, in charge of the lives of the same people he betrayed. Yeah, and he's a great man. He's in vogue. He's a great man. And that's what we got. You know, you can have what's behind door number one, or you can have number two behind door number two. So Woodstock is hallowed ground. Woodcraft. Our flesh reminded us of a hellhole that destroyed young lives. We also recall the anger of the locals at the gentleman that rented his property to the promoters of the event. If you wonder who made a major contribution to the drug problems of today, 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie, and so is his father. We also recall the anger of the locals at the gentleman that rented his property. He wasn't a gentleman, lady. To the promoters of this event. If you wonder who made a major contribution to the drug problems of today, remember Woodstock. The people that shut at that event are the grandparents of today. Woodstock is the shame of my generation. And it's signed by Catherine the Great from Great Kills. God bless you, Catherine. You tell it as you see it. You are a true American. You're one of the few that's left. And I told that guy that was in my store today, he's a butcher. And I said, there's a whole industry that also got whacked. And remember when you went with your ma to the butcher and he cut a piece of bologna and give you a fresh piece of bologna? Piece of liverwurst? Yeah. Now they let you sample pretzels in $20 mustard dip. Yeah. Oh, God. We're in trouble. You know when you'll know when we're in trouble? When the beauty parlors and the nail places close. And the perfume, the girl that that Spritzes and Macy's is no longer there. And they're selling axle grease instead. Yeah, to keep the rocking chair lubricated. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. You have no idea how much trouble we're in. You know what you do? Make believe you just lost your job. And ask yourself, what jobs are out there for you at this point in time? And make a list of your best opportunities. If you get if you get more than a 4, you'll be doing very good.
Do we have a song that's a tribute to the economy?
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Hey, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Once we built. Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. I was listening to some cassettes on the way home tonight, and songs that you'll never hear again. But when you do hear them, and you lived at that time, you'll get some nice flashbacks. Hey There by Rosemary Clooney was one I listened to tonight, and one by what's her name? Let me see if I can tell you which. The Kiss of Fire. And she's a Southern gal. And when I heard The Kiss of Fire tonight, I said, you know what? Guys should ask that be played as their wedding song. I touch your lips, and all at once the sparks go flying. Those devil lips that know so well the art of lying. Yeah, that'd make a good wedding song. Actually, mine was Mr. Wonderful. My wife insisted on it. I was sort of being shy and demure. We have some good news tonight. As of August the 24th, the Cash for Clunkers will be canceled. And all the dealers are still waiting for their money. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? They got snooked. Oh, they'll get it. Eventually they'll get it. Maybe they'll get it in the form of coupons. And you know what's really scary? That we're borrowing money from... We owe the Chinese more money than we have. Isn't that scary? And you know what else is scary? That in 1973, we stood in gas lines waiting for a gallon of gas. And we let the OPEC push us around. And after the gas lines were gone, we went back to being the same old stooge. We never made any provisions. 1973, what's the year? 2009? Was that 26 years? We never got ready for a gas crunch? I'm looking at gas and oil reports tonight. They're finding oil all over the world. They're finding it in China. They're finding it in Brazil. The United States is now drilling in Brazil. They're going to uncap the oil wells in Brazil, but they won't uncap the ones in California. California, who could use the money more than anybody else, as they have a change of population. The rich are moving out, and the poor will be left to burn it to the ground. Yeah, the once great state of California. I think we should take the bridges down and sell them for scrap while we can still make a buck. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. So they announced as of August the 24th that they're not going to pay cash for clunkers anymore. However, they are introducing a new program that the Republicans have introduced it. Actually, the conservatives have introduced it. And it's called the Cash for Clunkers Part 2. And if you have a senator or a Viet Congress mouse who didn't show up at town hall meetings or called them off, or charged you admission, he can be traded in. You can get up to $6,000 under the new Cash for Clunkers program. Just bring your congressman or senator to the closest recycling plant. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune and then we'll talk some more. The Savage is ranting and raving tonight. The Scots have gone communist and they're releasing they've gone Muslim. Yeah, Hutman Oman. Yeah, they've gone Muslim. They're taking a guy who was the only guy they caught at the bombing of Lockerbie. And when that plane, that Pan Am plane, went down and killed all of those students, I think they were from Syracuse University, a lot of them, okay? A lot of them were probably anti-war students. A lot of them were probably left-wing liberals. And they all got killed by an Arab with a bomb, okay, blessed by Muammar Gaddafi. And when that plane went down, it went into a Scottish house and killed people living in that house. And the Scots won't even retaliate for their own. There's no Rob Roy's left in Scotland, unless it's on the bar. That's it, man. There's no more, what's his name, Mel Gibson played him. My mind is going. Henry Wallace. There's no more Henry Wallaces. No, nope. They're all Longshanks up there. They might as well take the Stone of Scone and throw it into the sea. You know what the Stone of Scone is? It's the stone that Scottish kings were crowned on. The stone that Scottish kings were crowned on. And back in the 50s, somebody stole it. And they got upset about it. But that's it, man. Scotland by Young Bunny Banks. And watch the Pan Am plane crash into the by Young Bunny Banks. Now, what did the terrorists, those Muslim terrorists, they're all Muslims, by the way. There's no Catholic terrorists. You're not allowed to be a Catholic and join Al-Qaeda. You're not allowed to be Jewish. You can't join Al-Qaeda. You can't be a Quaker. Okay? Of course, when those B-52s come over, there are a lot of Quakers. But you can't. You have to be a full-fledged Muslim. You have to practice cutting the heads off the sheep, so that it makes it easier for you to cut off the heads of your own people. And don't bury them after you cut their heads off. Leave them for the dogs, because they're bad Muslims. And the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda are good Muslims, and they kill the bad Muslims, or as they call them, fakirs. They call them something else. I forget what it is. But anyway, when Pan Am went down in Lockerbie, Pan Am went out of business. When TWA was hijacked and they killed Robert Stethem, a Navy diver who did nothing but help people all his life, save lives, and they beat him up unmercifully in that TWA hijacked flight on the Beirut tarmac. And then they shot him for all the world to see, and they threw his body out. That was done by Palestinians who were looking for their own state. The most unwanted nationality in the Middle East. And nobody wants them. The Arabs don't want them, and definitely the Jews don't want them. Okay? They are nothing but warlords, everyone. They live to die. And all they do is cry. And they are not wanted. They went to Tunisia. Tunisia threw them out. They went to Kuwait. The Kuwaitis put them on planes. I was there. I've seen them being dragged out of cars and rushed to the airport. Their cars were impounded. Their businesses were taken over because they betrayed the Kuwaitis in favor of Saddam Hussein. The Saudis don't want them. Okay? The home of Mecca and Medina doesn't want the Palestinians. With all the land that Saudi Arabia has, you don't think they couldn't take in the population of Palestine? Nope. They don't want them. Nobody wants them. You think about that. The Jordanians don't want them. The Jordanians took them in. They tried to take over the government of Jordan. The Jordanians threw them out. Nobody wants the Palestinians. So, you know why? Because they're troublemakers. And all they do is make trouble. They can't make a flower. And Gaddafi and the Muslims put Pan Am out of business. The Palestinians killed Israelis at the Olympics. They went into Germany and killed Israelis. All right? These people are no good. They live to die, I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. If they wave an olive branch, there's a bayonet that's, as a stem. And they're going to continue. That's all they know. They don't know anything else. You tell me how a man can get 72 virgins walking away from his wife and children and blowing himself up. You tell me that's not a selfish bastard. So, having said that, the Palestinians put TWA out of business. And then Osama bin Laden... I tried to put out of business American Airlines and U.S. Air. Were those the two planes that went into the World Trade Center? Okay. So, not only do they attack us economically, they attack us and our children. And we do nothing. We do nothing. We're trying to move them from Gitmo to downtown New York so one cop can guard five Al-Qaeda on a cut budget. And a cut in pay. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? What is the saying? Love thy enemy and hate thy country? So the Scots are turning this guy loose, claiming he's got prostate cancer. He's only done 8 years for the murder of, I think, 237 people, or 273 people. And all of those were young students, many of them. And their parents were waiting for them to come home, waiting to greet them with open arms. And instead, they had to go into the fields of Lockerbie and look for pieces of bodies. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who was a liberal that lost a loved one on that flight, today is a hawk. And you want to know what makes the difference between a pacifist liberal and a hawk? Skin in the game. Once there's skin in the game, everybody plays. So let me, we'll play a lamentation here. I'm feeling lamentable.
Up in the morning, out on the job, work like the devil for my pay. But that lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray, while that lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Send down that cloud with a silver line. Lift me to paradise. Show me that river. Take me across. Wash all my troubles away. Like that lucky old son, give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Send on that cloud with a silver lining, lift me to paradise. Show me that river, take me across, wash all my troubles away, like that. Give me nothing to do but roll around heaven all day.
There's another song with God in it. That's, I told you, the 50 songs, one out of three had God in them. And today, we got a little old gray-haired lady and down in Florida, and she is being pilloried by the ACLU because she asked her husband to say a prayer at an adult dinner meeting, which might be connected to a school. How's that? Can you imagine how petty we are? How petty we are. When you think of the generation that built this country, where grandpa would cut his hand working, put a big slice in his hand that required stitches, and he would stuff it with grease so he could continue working for the day before going to the hospital. How's that? And what do you got today? You've got a nation of wimps. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. You got to see this counterintelligence guy. I got to tell you, this guy, you know what? He probably failed musical chairs. You know Mike Savage's band in Britain. Did you know that? because he's a right-wing conservative. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's a God and country boy. And somebody from the United States put a bug in a communist ear in England, and they set it up for Michael Savage to be banned from Britain. You know what I'd do if I was Savage? I would get I'd get a right-hand gauntlet glove, and I'd send it to the Queen of England. I'd say, slap yourself, and then send out your Queen's champion for combat. Yeah, unbelievable. What a nation of lemons. They are absolutely terrible. And these are our allies. Isn't that something? Do you know in France they already got a new list of all the people they're going to turn in when the Germans come again? How sad. Absolutely sad. Did you know that Charles de Gaulle wanted all Americans out of France? And the Secretary of State at the time when said, does that mean the graves too? The ones who were buried here? And he wouldn't answer. Do not count on Europe. And stop comparing us to Europe. We are not Europe. We got rid of Europe in 1781. Anybody that was on the side of the British had to go back to England with the British. Anybody who betrayed us had to board ships. They were afraid for their life to stay once the Brits left. And they left with the Brits. And they went back to England. The only one that stayed were the Schumers. Every time I see Schumer smiling, I know America is getting diddled. Every time I see Schumer smiling, I know that somewhere, some kid is being murdered, or some GI's vote is not being counted, or some Cuban kid is being deported at gunpoint for not knowing freedom. Anytime I see Schumer smiling, I get real nervous. I would rather see Adolf Hitler smile than Schumer. I call him Heinrich Schumer. Barney Frank, the scourge of home building, Barney Frank. Christopher Dudd, they were all out there today. The 12 disciples of the devil. Unbelievable. They vote to burn the flag. They vote to kill kids. And now they're gonna put grandma and grandpa to sleep, and they're gonna tell you. They're gonna be like the German that was let go in Private Ryan, who ended up slipping a bayonet into a GI, saying, shh, it's okay, you're gonna like this. Yep, you remember that? You never let the enemy go. And you know what? You kill them where you find them. You don't bring them back. We don't need anybody in Gitmo. We don't need anybody for interrogation. You meet them on the battlefield, you leave them on the battlefield, and send their souls to hell. Now let me give you a light fare. Here's a Perez Prado tune. I call it Brazilian Soft Shoe. Thank you. somebody that I know and love is in love with a Brazilian girl. And this guy is as white as alabaster. Yeah, and the sun just bounces off his body and blinds everybody. He's so white, he could pass for a saint. He's a walking halo. He's not a saint though. And he's crazy about this Brazilian girl. So she took him back to Brazil to meet her parents. And the movie Apocalypto had just come out. And if you've seen the movie Apocalypto, you'll see how one tribe would capture another tribe and sacrifice them, and eat their hearts and cut their hearts out while they were still alive. And you know, to get rain or a sunny day. The weatherman used to do it. But, and all of the victims who were going to be executed were painted blue. So I said to this guy, as he was leaving, I says, I don't want to scare you or anything, but this is your first time going to Brazil? He goes, yeah. He goes, I just saw your girlfriend, and she was in Martin's paint, buying a gallon of blue. Yeah. So I don't think she liked that. She'd appreciate that too much. But he did come back alive. But you know what? His head was a lot smaller, and it was on a necklace he was wearing. Yeah, and his lips were sewn together. I know guys that are looking for that recipe for their wives. I don't want to don't get me started here. I'm being a nice guy tonight. I better get off the hook with the ladies. I have to play a salute to women. Let me see if I can find something that praises women. Here's a 50s tune when girls used to wear skirts down to their ankles. Tight skirts.
Bells about Ramona, they're ringing out our song of love. I press you, caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care, to always remember the rambling rose you wear in your hair. Ramona, when day is done, you'll hear my call. Ramona, we'll meet beside the waterfall. I thread the dawn when I find you gone. Ramona, I need you, my own. I hear the mission bells above. Ramona, they're ringing out our song of love. I press you, caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care, to always remember the rambling rose you wear in your hair. When day is done, you'll hear my call. Ramona, we'll meet beside the waterfall. I dread the dawn when I find you gone. Ramona, I need you, my own. Ramona,
imagine naming your daughter Chastity.
Yeah.
That's like painting a target on a kid's back. Unbelievable. What are people thinking? And this, the ones that name their kids after train stations. What's with this? And what's with this, everybody looking for a new religion? They go up to the mountain and they hum, hum, and they wait to be, for a, they wait for a sign in the heavens. Hum. Give me a break, man. You know how many good religions you got right now? You got at least three good religions. You want me to name them, right? Hang in there. We're naming girls' names. I'm going to find the tune with a girl's name in it. Oh, I know. If I find this one, you'll like this one.
This song goes out to all the guys in the Witness Protection Program, the Battered Husbands Division.
Hey, you know what? Mike is talking about the guy that's being released from Scotland. I don't think he has prostate cancer. I'd like to see a DNA sample. I'd like to see a cutting. Yeah, I'd like to see a big cutting. Yeah, I don't think he's got it. He's, you know what they're pulling here? They're pulling a Magic Johnson. Remember when they said Magic Johnson had AIDS, he was going to die in a week? They'll be calling this guy Magic Mohammed. Speaking of fakers, I see that John Edwards is bringing his mistress to be closer to him so he doesn't have to commute. This guy voted to burn the flag too, you know. Yeah, he's the pride of the Carolinas. Him and Governor Sanitary. How's that, man? You know, I can't stand, I gotta tell you, I can't stand guys who betray their first love. I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, if I had suffered like some guys suffer with a mistake, I would be au contraire. But when you start out, especially when you're pinching pennies and you're in your youth and this woman is giving you everything, and she's contributing to your success, and all of a sudden she gets a few wrinkles and you start shopping for something 20 years younger. Come on, man. That's a no-no. You're going to burn in hell for that. Yeah. You'll be in the sixth level of hell. Seventh is reserved for politicians who betray a trust. And let me tell you, any politician who votes to kill kids betrays 1,400,000 trusts a year. And I hear that Nadler is out there and he's calling all of these Tea Party people terrorists. There's no bigger terrorist than Nadler, Congress Mouse Nadler, who voted to burn the American flag. He'd never vote to burn the Israeli flag, and I'll tell you why. Because if he did, he would be hanging from a lamppost in his biased constituents 5 minutes later. But the American flag, it's only a rag. Right? And we're voting a rag mop into Congress. Yeah. Nadler has to go. Ackerman has to go. Schumer has to go. All the weasels who vote to burn flags and kill kids, they have to, for the safety of the nation, for the security of the nation, and they have to be terminated. No more terms for termites. And just to show you I'm fair and impartial, get rid of McCain, too. Get rid of all the Democrats, get rid of all the Republicans, fire them all. I don't want to see Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch is no match for anybody. Orrin Hatch walks into the lion's den and says, "Hi guys, what's for lunch?" They make fun of Orrin Hatch. And what's his name, the guy that just jumped ship? He jumped ship a long time ago, Arlen Spectacle. He jumped ship a long time ago. He has been the fifth columnist for the Democrats for at least 15 years. He voted to burn flag and get rid of the two wicked witches of the North from Maine, Olympia Snowjob and the other terrorist. And throw in Lindsey Graham. Get rid of them all. If you don't clean house now, you're never going to have a house. You're going to be in an open field, and it's going to be mined heavily. And Bin Laden is due. Bin Laden is due. He's due for a big one. The Iranians like big ones. They like to kill about 223 Marines when they're asleep. They know how to do it. And they'll be coming again. They'll be coming again. And each time a Bin Laden comes, his footprint gets heavier. If you don't kill him before he kills you, you will die. And he's got your name on a wall already. He'll probably attack while we're all at the Academy Awards. And Hollywood will distract the throat cutters, the audience, so the throat cutters can do their work. What happened to the anti-war movement? Don't we still have a war on? Huh? Obama is downplaying the war. And the media is playing Hush Hush, Sweet Charlotte. What happened to, what's her name? It used to drag her husband around all the communist countries. Drag her son, Casey's mother. Poor Casey. He never got his turn at bat. Do you know the day he died was Palm Sunday? Do you know before he died he served mass? And his mother wouldn't even put a tombstone on his grave. She blamed the government for not giving her the cash. And then finally, she was shamed into putting a tombstone up. But she dragged her son up on the party platform for Hugo Chavez. El Caesar. If you got property, he's seizing it. Yeah, if you got an oil company, he's seizing it. That's how the communists do it. They have a vote. One man, one vote, and everything belongs to him. Fidel Castro is worth $700 million in Switzerland alone. You don't believe that, right? No. How much do you think it costs to cut sugar cane by the hour? How much do you pay a worker? Not if you bring them out of college. You take them out of college and put them in the fields. Not if you draft them, put them in the fields. Isn't that a form of slavery? No, communism is not slavery. Communism is good. And your grandma didn't need that hip replacement anyway. Besides, she's 59. She's over the new age limit. It's only a matter of time before they send death squads into old age homes with pillows to smother anybody and that's sneezing. And that legislation will be called, we're doing it for your own good legislation. I heard Washington's getting all the clunkers, and they're going to convert them into ambulances for the aged. We got a code red. Now, how old is the victim? She's 72. All right. Send the ambulance without the engine. It's all downhill anyway.
Hang in there, boys and girls. And we'll go to episode 3. I cut that other one short, the first one I cut short, where I had Al Jolson singing, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And once we built towers to the sun, and those towers we built to the sun, Al-Qaeda took them down. So let me give you Multiply.
You know whose show I like? The guy's name, I think his name is Frank Lout. He does the surveys and he puts the pulse meters on the people. He's pretty good. And he does have his finger on the pulse of the people. And he had 29 people on tonight and in a segment. And he asked them, what would they advise Obama to do? And the answers were very, very well thought out. And what blew my mind was there were three black people there, and all three said, one guy said, he really rocked me, he said, don't forget you're serving all the people. And that made my heart swell with American pride. And there was a black girl, and she said something prophetic. And there was only one guy who said, don't back down. Don't back down. I mean, that's part of politics, backing down. They put out the feeler, and then if you know what it is, they throw their hat in the house before they walk in, and if the hat comes back out, they don't go in. Remember your dad used to do that when he was drinking heavy? Anyway, yeah, and he does some pretty good surveys. Hang in there a second, I'll give you some other thoughts for the day. You know what kills me? That when these congressmen or senators, they get caught doing something shady, and they're voted out of office, they still got the pension. You only got to be there, like, I think it's 4 years, and you qualify for a pension. Maybe it's 4 weeks. I'm not even sure. But, you know, they don't care. They lose their job. They're ahead of the game. Then they can go out and become lobbyists. And I told you what I say think about lobbies. The only lobby in Washington should be in a hotel. So hang in there and we'll look for some thoughts for today. I see today that the New York Times and the Washington Post leaked. I like that, man. They leaked. They leaked concealed information that the CIA had commissioned Blackwater to take out Al-Qaeda. Isn't that something? You know, we got to put a contract out on Al-Qaeda. We got to do it under QT. What happened to Mano a Mano? What happened to a 52 pickup from a B-52? Yeah, what a joke. What a joke. We're trying to kill Al-Qaeda using sophisticated means. Hey, where is Bin Laden? He's got to be somewhere. I don't think he's in Afghanistan, but he could be in Pakistan, and he's being protected by the Pakistani government. You can rest assured he's being protected by the Pakistani government, as sure as his family was protected by the United States government on 9/11 when they allowed them to leave the country. In a plane, in a private plane. Remember that? Yeah. That was a State Department deal. If you ever looked into what goes on in the State Department, you know what you'd want to do? you'd want to buy a very big revolver and you'd want to go there in person. And to all you girls out there, you know, stun guns are getting a little more compact, and it wouldn't hurt to have one. It wouldn't hurt to have a nice little stun gun. So when you dial that 911 and you get a recording, and lecherous Larry is just about to put his arm around your neck, you can change his mind. Works great on dogs, too. When the dog's attacking you, why get mauled when you can change his mind? We had an incident here in the local area. A guy who was like in his 80s. Lived in this neighborhood all his life. He was born there, and he was finished off there by two pit bulls. How sad, right? And not only that, he died slowly. He died over about a week's time from all of the bites. If he had had a stun gun, you would have had two electric pit bulls. He would have had a chance. If he could raise his hands to defend himself, he could have given him 50,000 volts at the same time. Get yourself a stun gun, girls. Can't go wrong. You don't have to be on a 911 tape shouting, "Please don't take me away," like that girl that they're looking for tonight. Yep. Oh, maybe he'll take it away from you and use it on you. But you know what? At least you had a 50-50 chance. Today you don't have a chance. I like the commercial where the helpless wife and child are locking the door, and a guy kicks in the front door, and the phone rings, and it's the Brinks guy. "Are you okay? We're going to send somebody over. You're a little late, Johnny. There's a dead man here." "What do you mean a dead man?" "Well, he came in the door and I blew him away." "Are you okay? How's that?" "No, yeah, I'm okay. But the victim isn't." Yeah, the guy that breaks in answers the phone. "Everything's okay." "Yeah, but he doesn't know the password." "Yeah, give me a break. What's the password?" And suppose the guy doesn't know it. Suppose the guy that lives there doesn't know it. Does the house blow up? Yeah. This house is protected by the Al-Qaeda. Here's a tune Barney Frank should sing at the next town hall meeting. Doesn't Massachusetts send some real lemons? I guess they're in competition with New York. Vermont got Bernie Sanders. You ever see him? The whiner, Bernie the whiner. "The maple syrup isn't leaching as much as it did last year. Give everything to the poor. And arrest those two conservatives over there. Burning the flag is good for America. Killing kids, it's the only way we can cull the herd. Ruth Bader Ginsburg says she knows how to deal with the unwanted." How many kids does Ruth Bader Ginsburg have?
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune. And then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. without the moon, humming a different tune. And then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
I love that big fat band sound. That really, it makes you want to get up and out of the wheelchair.
Why, Smokey Joe's Cafe? Why, Smokey Joe's Cafe?
One day while I was eating beans
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
just sitting digging over beans
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
a chick came walking through the door that I had never seen before. At least I never saw her now
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, and I started shaking when she sat right down next to me. Ooh, her knees were almost touching mine
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
A chill was running down my spine
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Oh, I could smell a sweet perfume. She smiled at me, my heart went boom. Then everybody in the room
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
They said, man, be careful, that chick belongs to Smokey Joe. From behind the counter, I saw a man, a shelf hat on his head and a knife in his hand. He grabbed me by my collar and began to shout,
up all your beans and bar and clear right on out.
Yes, I know I'll never eat again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
and so we'll never meet again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
I'd rather eat my chili beans at Tim's or Jack John's or Jean's than take my chances eating out
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, I risk my life when the Smokey Joe's a crazy fool.
Have you ever been in a situation where you know you're out of your element? Have you ever been in a foreign Arab country where somebody has driven you from one city to another and he's promised to return you back to your hotel, and all of a sudden he's negotiating with the cab driver on how much he'll pay for you to go back to the hotel? And he refuses to give the cab driver all the money. Have you ever had that sinking feeling in your stomach when the cab driver lets you off somewhere else and you don't know where you are? Yeah. Oh, well, you know, that's par for the course. That's part of life's just desserts. You know, sometimes I skip dessert. And usually I don't ride around unescorted. I usually make a friend. But sometimes you can lose a friend in the middle of a trip. I once went from Bahrain to Saudi Arabia on business. And being in the automotive field, I had a lot of videotapes showing different automotive products. As a matter of fact, I had about 20. You know, one on jacks, one on lifts, and so forth. And you know, in the automotive business, everything is done. All brochures have ba-ba-boom girls on them. You know, heavily endowed ladies wearing skimpy costumes. I once did a show in Kuwait, and I spent a whole night with a magic marker, blacking out all the women. Yeah, and I said to myself, I had 1,200 pounds in catalog material. And I said to myself, God help me if one guy finds something with Marilyn Monroe on it, we'll have incident suicide in the booth. he'll go berserk. He'll turn American. So here we are, we're crossing into Saudi Arabia from Bahrain, and here I've got my 20 tapes, and you have to go into customs, and they, you know, they pull, just like when you're smuggling drugs into Mexico, from Mexico into California, you know, they open the trunk of the car, and they look at everything, and then when they seen the tapes, they confiscated the tapes. Now, it's interesting, the difference between Saudi and Oman. In Oman, they confiscated my tapes and wouldn't even let me bring them into the country. I says, they're only automotive tapes. I says, it doesn't matter. And they gave them back to me when I was leaving Oman, the emirate, Sultanate of Oman. So, but when I was in Saudi, we went from Bahrain to Saudi, and at the toll booth, they give you a receipt that says, the penalty for drugs is death. Now, you can't get any clearer than that. You know what I mean? I don't think we'd like to see too many yuppies going from Bahrain to Saudi Arabia doing, headless horseman routine? You know the one I'm talking about that comes out of pumpkin time. Ichabod Crane and the boys. But, so there I am. I've got my 20 tapes, and they've got 10 VCRs, and they're throwing the tapes in, and they're looking at them, and they're looking at them, and all they can see is hydraulic pistons and jacks, and everything's working fine, and all of a sudden, in comes this fat, assorted teenager, and we're in an air-conditioned room, and he's sweating. And they got his, and he's a little fat guy, and he's probably about 18, and he's a sortie, and they got 20 of his tapes, and they start putting his tapes in, and I'm looking at the tapes, and it's all of fat Arab girls. He was probably on a tour, and they're all naked. So they dragged him away. And I said, you should have had automotive tapes like I did. Yeah, Abdullah does Medina. Yeah, unbelievable. Fatima does Riyadh. But that's life in the big city. The rule of thumb is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Just don't stone anybody to death. You could say, I'll take two sponges. But that's life in the big city. Let me give you a tune. Imagine you're going into business for the first time, and you make it a company policy that on the opening day, you're going to insult half your customers. How long do you think you're going to last in business? Not too long, right? So why does Rosie O'Donnell, who was welcomed by the American public, why did she turn off half her audience? Why did she spit in the face of her constituents? Why did she do that? What's wrong with her? Let me play a Rosie O'Donnell song.
You're in a cavern down by a canyon, excavating for a mine. There lived a miner from North Carolina and his daughter, chubby Clementine. Now every morning, yeah, just about dawning, when the sun began to shine, you knew she would rouse up, wake all of them cows up, and walk them down to her daddy's mine. I took the footbridge, we crossed the water, although she weighed 299. The old bridge trembled and disassembled. Whoops! Dumped her in to the foamy brine. Hey, crack like thunder. Ho, ho, you know she went under. Ho, ho, a blowing bubble down the line. Hey, I'm no swimmer, but were she slimmer, I might have saved that clementine. Ho, she broke the record. Way underwater, I thought that she was doing fine. I wasn't nervous, not until the service that they held for Clementine. Hey, you sailor, ho, ho, way out on your whaler, with your harpoon, your trusty line. If she shows now, yellow, there she blows now. It just may be Chunky Clementine. One more time. Oh, my darling, 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 sweet Clementine. You may be gone, fare thee well, so long, Clementine. Bye.
That's Bobby Darin. He had a short life, and he was a great talent. As a matter of fact, he was giving Sinatra a run for his money. And he wasn't part of the drug culture, as far as I can tell. And he died at a very young age. And it's sad to see a good talent wasted, and some of the people that they force feed us live forever, like Mickey Jagger and the Prunes. Yeah, Mr. Tongue. Yeah. Yeah, a little. Now that he's getting so old, they're gonna change the tongue emblem to a nice piece of pastrami. Mickey the Prune, he gave a concert in California, and he hired Hell's Angels to protect him, and they stabbed the guy to death at the show, and he pulled the Richard Gere. Can't we all just learn to live together? You remember when Richard Gere did that? Was he inappropriate or what? He stood up at a 911 memorial, and he started blaming the cops for it. Blaming the cops for 911. Can't we all live together? These guys are digging for their buddies' bodies. These guys just seen 3,000 Americans die, and they couldn't prevent one death. They saw the immolation overnight of 3,000 Americans going up in sacred smoke. And this clown gets up and gives us that Hollywood crap. Can't we all just get along? He belongs in a hut in Tibet, being investigated by the Chi-Coms. Speaking of the Chi-Coms, they're holding a lot of our money, and they're controlling our industry. And God help us the day they turn around and say they want to get paid in gold. And God help us when OPEC turns around and says they want to get paid in euros. And then we're going to have to make some real money. Scary. You don't own your own country. You're on eBay right now. There's probably block and lot numbers that you don't even know about, and your house is one of them. I was watching some hearings, people testifying about the computer world to the House and the Senate, who has no idea what it means. And the guy that was in charge of the hearings, he's got the only wooden computer. And he's up there, and he's voting for health care. But it's amazing how one professor, was explaining how when you click on something, how much data is pulled together to analyze the marketability of products that you might be interested in, and how they will assign a cookie number to your one hit, and that cookie will build information on you. It'll tell whoever's interested your buying habits, your health condition, your finances, from that one little cookie. Whoever thought that the word cookies could be so deadly? So they're going to probably pass anti-cookie legislation soon. And it'll give new meaning to the word stop breaking my cookies. We were doing girls' names before. I was looking for Tangerine. I'll have to settle for Poinciana. Here's a little Cal Jada and Afro-Cuban sound. And Pancho Sanchez. Thank you. I'm listening to Cal Jada, and I'm recalling that he had an untimely death. He died young also. And a guy named Willie Bobo, who played timbales, he also died at a young age. And he had a young son when he passed away. And I don't know what Cal Jada died from, but Willie Bobo had a brain tumor. And we were talking about brain tumors the other night, and I asked a PA, a physician's assistant, if he thought that cell phones are going to cause an increase in brain tumors, and he seemed to think yes. So you're in a like a 10 or 20 year experiment, and the end result will be if you get a brain tumor in 10 or 20 years. And somebody just died of a brain tumor. The guy that was involved, that was dragged into the Valerie Flame fiasco created by the Party of Death, trying to get Vice President Cheney, who's got a book out, by the way. I got to get it. I want to read it. I want to see how close he was to Bush. I got a feeling that he wasn't too close to Bush, not to the son. And he probably had to grind his teeth a lot. But Cheney was a professional vice president. And now we got Silly Joe. Silly Joe, and we're all hoping that he doesn't hurt anybody. But you know what? One thing in life that you can never predict is an outcome. You may think you can predict an outcome, but just ask Napoleon how Waterloo went. Ask Hitler how Leningrad went. Ask Julius Caesar how the Ides of March turned out. You never can predict an outcome. I'm watching that racehorse in Barbaro. How sad. How absolutely sad. Such a fine specimen of animal. And it's amazing how delicate horses' legs are. Unbelievable. And they all thought he was going to be a Triple Crown winner. You cannot predict the outcome. It never can happen. Happens all the time. Just ask the guys that brought the Hindenburg over. And that wasn't the first trip. So What was my point? My point was cell phones, do they cause... You're better off for keeping them away from your head. And definitely while you're driving, you should have a hands-free cell phone. It should be on the dash somewhere. I'm sure they must have cell phones that work through your radio. That's great, you know? But then anybody that sees you as you're going by, they just think you're talking to yourself. Which in most cases that's what I'm doing. I tell myself jokes as I drive along. My big bit about driving is that I let my wife do the driving because she can't talk and drive at the same time, and I nap on the passenger side, and as the cars go by, they see my Irish face and they say to themselves, they bless themselves. There but for the grace of God go I. He must be the designated drinker. But it's not true. Oreo cookies are my downfall. And Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola. I see they're starting to boycott Pepsi because Pepsi is promoting a gay agenda. Hey, whatever happens, happens. That's life. This is the United States. You're free to do anything you want. If you want to paint your behind green and march up Fifth Avenue backwards, you can do it. Of course, you'll have to pay the fine. And you may have to be forced to get married. But anyway, let me... So the other point was breast cancer. And I'm wondering if birth control pills lead to more breast cancer than is necessary. And nobody is doing that survey. And of course, a drug company that sells birth control pills is not going to do it. And sure as Philip Morris isn't going to isn't going to talk you out of buying cigarettes. So the more sophisticated we become, sometimes the more of a danger we are to ourselves. And there's a saying that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And that's true. You see a guy throwing stats around, and he can manipulate them to his advantage. But having said that, let me give you Pope Benedict's favorite song, As Long As You Get Married in a Church.
When you see a gentleman be around a lady be buzzing, just count the ten, then count again. There's sure to be an even dozen. A multiplication, that's the name of the game. And each generation, they play the same. Now there were two butterflies casting their eyes, both in the same direction. You never guess that one little yes could start a butterfly collection. A multiplication, that's the name of the game. And each generation, they play the same. Let me tell you now, I'll say one and one is five. You can call me silly, no. But you take two minks, add two winks. You got a one mink coat. When a girl gets coy in front of a boy, after three or four dances, you can just bet she'll play hard to get to multiply her chances. A multiplication, that's the name of the game. Any generation, you know to play the same. Hear me talking to your mother nature, the clever girl, she relies on having to take to her hair with no care. Pretty soon you got a room full of rabbits. A parakeet in between tweets sometimes get too quiet. Uh-oh, but to have no fear, cause soon you'll hear a parakeet's riot, just try it. A multiplication, that's the name of the game. In every generation, you know to play the same. Yeah, it's multiplication, that's the name of the game. They play the same. They better.
Bum, bum, bum.